May 8th. Happy Friday, everybody. So, announcements. We are going to move House Bill 2995, House Bill 3225, House Bill 3300, and House Bill 2016 over until 5/11, although House Bill 3225 will be rescheduled on May 15th. So, just for everybody that's here, for those bills, we're not going to do them today. There you go. Thanks. Bye and happy Friday. All right. With that, I am going to open a work session on House Bill 3526. Aaron, will you describe the measure? Sorry, that went out of order.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3526 establishes Oregon Main Street Revitalization Grant Program within Oregon Business Development Department for purposes of awarding grants to participants in Oregon Main Street Network and members of the National Main Street Center for purposes of preservation-based community revitalization and economic development. It establishes the Oregon Main Street Revitalization Grant Program Fund and continuously appropriates monies in fund to department for purposes of program. It authorizes sufficient amount of lottery bonds for 2015-17. Biennium, you have a -2 amendment. It moves the Oregon Main Street Revitalization Grant Program to State Parks and Recreation Department. They will be responsible for awarding the grants, requires the State Parks and Recreation Department to adopt formula for awarding grants, gives priority to proposals in traditional underserved communities, develop criteria to determine eligibility of grant applicants and proposed projects, provide assistance in monitoring for grant recipients, and develop rules to implement grant programs. It establishes the grant fund and continuously appropriates the money in the fund to the State Parks and Recreation Department for purposes of program. Maintains the authorization of sufficient amount of lottery bonds for 2015-17 biennium for $5 million to be deposited into fund. There is an emergency clause in the measure, becomes effective July 1, 2015. The -2 amendment does have a fiscal impact statement, and it does need to go to Ways and Means. So the issue before you today will be to consider the -2, and then the recommendation will be to send it to the Committee on Ways and Means.
I'd accept an amendment. Not a motion. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -2 amendment to House Bill 3526.
Okay, Vice Chair Smith Warner has moved to adopt the -2 amendment to House Bill 3526. Are there any discussion? Okay. Any objection? If not, the motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3526 with a do pass as amended recommendation and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Smith Warner has moved 3526 with a do pass as amended recommendation to the Joint Committee on, and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Close of the work session on House Bill 3526. Where is it? All right, open a work session on House Bill 3535. Apologize for my use of the gavel, but I just don't know my own strength. Erin, would you describe the measure?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3535A modifies temporary assistance for needy families program and has an emergency clause on the measure. You have a dash A2 amendment. The dash A2 amendment clarifies legislative findings for connecting to employment, training, and education and providing path out of poverty, clarifies eligibility and amount of aid should be determined by rules for Department of Human Services, amends earning requirement for needy caretaker relative to receive aid for more than 60 months who is unable to maintain or obtain employment for specific reasons, make changes in ORS 412-124 and Section 6, operative April 1, 2016. This measure, too, has a no revenue statement and a fiscal impact statement that will have implications for the Department of Human Services. So this, too, has to go to Ways and Means, Madam Chair, with the dash 2A2 amendment.
Okay. I'd accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash A2 amendment to House Bill 3535A.
Okay. Vice Chair Smith Warner has moved to adopt the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3535A. Is there discussion? No. Is there objection? If not, the motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3535A with a due pass as amended recommendation and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Smith Warner has moved that House Bill 3535 as amended move with a due pass recommendation do pass as amended recommendation and the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? I'm not going to take that as objection. Seeing none, motion passes. Close the work session on House Bill 3535A. Okay, and where is this one right here? Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3206. Erin, would you describe the measure?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3206 authorizes court to appoint counsel and order DNA testing for any criminal conviction with relevant DNA evidence, modifies existing procedures regarding DNA testing, clarifies changes requirements of prima facie standard in order to obtain DNA training, testing, and counsel, requires court to state reasons on the record. You have a dash 3 amendment. The dash 3 amendment limits availability of court-ordered post-conviction DNA testing to felony offenses only, requires person to use as much specificity as is reasonably practicable when identifying what evidence to be tested for DNA evidence, requires prima facie finding showing that the exculpatory DNA evidence would lead to finding that person is actually innocent of crime, and requires showing be consistent with statement of innocence filed by person. Prohibits testimony from victim at hearing on motion for post-conviction DNA testing unless victim consents. Authorizes court to grant motion for post-conviction DNA testing if there is reasonable possibility that assuming exculpatory results, testing would lead to finding that person is actually innocent of offense. Requires post-conviction DNA testing be done by Oregon State Police unless both parties agree or compelling circumstances exist. Requires court to make findings when issuing order on motion for post-conviction DNA testing. Permits court-appointed counsel only when person completes affidavit swearing that they are innocent of offense and are financially unable to obtain suitable counsel. Authorizes court to hear motion for new trial if post-conviction DNA testing produces exculpatory evidence. You have a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the dash 3 amendment.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash 3 amendment to House Bill 3206.
Vice Chair Smith Warner has moved to adopt the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3206. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? If not, motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3206 to the floor as amended with a due pass. To the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? If not, the motion passes. We will assign Representative Williamson to carry the bill, and I will close. I see that. Okay. I will close the work session on House Bill 3206, and then I would ask that the committee stand at ease for a moment. Do I have to go? The ODE education plan, Representative Hack, I believe that you're here to testify on this. And then we will be moving this bill down to Ways and Means.
Good afternoon, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jody Hack, and I'm the state representative for House District 19, which includes South Salem, Almsville, and Turner. Speaker Kotek was unable to be here, so she asked that I come before you today to testify on behalf of House Bill 2016. And I think Dorothy from her office is also here, and she can testify as well, I think. And I'm sure she'd be able to cover some more of the specifics of the bill if need be. I co-chief sponsored this bill because of the great work I believe that it will accomplish. The bill directs the Department of Education to develop and implement a statewide education plan for educationally disadvantaged Black or African American students. In the 2013-14 school year, 52.6% of Black or African American elementary students met reading achievement targets. It was 52.6% met reading achievement targets compared with 70.5% of all students. 38.9% of Black or African American elementary school students met math achievement targets compared with 62% of elementary students. These are just a few of the statistics you will see in the Dash 8 amendments that support the need for this bill. Within this bill, there are strategies that the plan must meet. The department must include strategies to ensure these students enter kindergarten ready to learn, address the disproportionate rate of disciplinary incidents for these students compared to other students in the education system, increase parental engagement. It increases the engagement of these students in educational activities before and after school, increase the number of these students who earn a high school diploma, a modified diploma, or an extended diploma who enroll in post-secondary education. Ensure that these students in grades 6 through 12 who had not considered enrolling in post-secondary education are moved toward and are able to access post-secondary educational opportunities that fit not only their interests but their abilities. And it must ensure that when these students do choose to go on to post-secondary education, that they are given supports that they need to be successful. If you take a look at the Dash 8 amendment on page 3, you can see more of the strategies that will be used. I believe this bill is just one step toward providing opportunity for Black and African American students to be successful and to receive the support that they so desperately need. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that we were going to be moving this bill. So please join Representative Hack.
She's already spoken.
Identify yourself for the record, please.
Okay. I'm Lou Frederick, a state representative from District 43. That's North and Northeast Portland. I have very little to say, actually, about this. You have the statistics, all the data, all the whereases. You have an understanding of what the issues are. We don't have, at this point, a real clear plan on how to address those issues. And that's what this bill is attempting to do. Create a plan, create a system that we can begin to look at those specific issues and really address them. Now, we've done that with one other group, and that's been good. I think we're starting to see some effects on that. That's the Native American in Oregon. But when it comes to the African American community, we've had a number of hit and miss, some things that have worked and some things that haven't. We need to have a better sense of what we're going to do. So I have been talking a great deal about the fact that we know what the problems are. We just haven't done something about them directly. This is an attempt to do something directly about them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for both of you for your testimony. Are there any questions of this panel? No? Okay, with that, I would accept a motion for to adopt the amendments.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 8 amendment to House Bill 2016.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner has moved to adopt the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2016. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If not, the motion passes. I'd accept another motion.
Madam Chair, I have another motion. I move House Bill 2016 with a do pass as amended recommendation and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner has moved House Bill 2016 with a do pass as amended recommendation and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion? Yes, Representative Wilson.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. Just great bill. Thanks for bringing it on. Looking forward to this thing taking wing and moving.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for coming down. This is a really great bill. Is there any other discussion? Is there any objection? If not, the motion passes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And close with looking forward to voting for this bill on the floor of the House. Closing the work session on House Bill 2016. So what we're going to do right now is to open up a work session on House Bill 3300, although we will not be moving this bill today. We just have had some people that are here to testify that came from far away. So we will do that, but we are not moving the bill today. And I know that there are potentially some committee members that have places to go. If you have to leave, I understand. But with that, I will open a work session on House Bill 3300. And with that, Representative Lively.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3300 requires primary care physicians to serve a specified percentage of medical assistance recipients in order to receive Public Employees Benefit Board or Oregon Educators Benefit Board to provide medical care. You have a Dash 2 amendment. The Dash 2 amendment would require primary care physicians in Lane County accept as patients under number of medical assistance recipients sufficient to constitute 15% of a physician's total number of patients in order to contract with the Public Employees Benefit Board or the Oregon Educators Benefit Board and to provide medical care. Requires PEB and OEBB report to legislature no later than February 1, 2019 regarding how this act has increased medical recipients' access to timely primary care in Lane County.
And Representative Lively, it's my understanding that you will be testifying to the bill with the Dash 2 amendment.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is John Lively. I'm State Representative from House District 12, which is Springfield. I'll first apologize for the spot on my shirt. The first arrived today here, I spilled the coffee all over myself. And I almost just turned away, went home, and I said, no, I'll spend the day. So it's not unusual for me to do that, though. So I appreciate this opportunity to provide some input on House Bill 3300. I think everybody in this room and probably everybody in the state is well aware of the problem we continue to face with provider shortages. And it varies throughout the state, but it's an ongoing issue, and it's certainly become a bigger issue as we've moved towards more people being covered and having access to health care. Certainly in Lane County, it's a huge challenge with the number of providers, and we've taken several different strategies to try to address that. One of those strategies has to do with recognizing what skills people have and making sure they can practice to the highest level or licenses, and that helps. We, as you know, we've talked a lot about residency and how we downstream address this, but that doesn't take care of the current problem. And the other thing we know that in the meantime, next few years, the problem's only going to get worse instead of better because more physicians are retiring and there's more change within the field. So this was an attempt since now in this marketplace, there's availability of PEB and OEB that wasn't necessarily available before, an attempt to try to make sure that the coverage is provided in a more even basis than if you just let the marketplace by itself totally work. So what the attempt here is, and first I want to emphasize with the Dash 2 amendments, this is a pilot that only applies to Lane County. Now, while I believe, and I think many believe, the issue is broader than Lane County, and it is, but at this point, this particular bill would only address a pilot, and the pilot at this point would sunset in January of 2020. So we'd have that long in which to implement it. And so what essentially it does is we require that physicians, in order to take PEB or OEB business, would be able to show that they have a percentage of their patients that are OHP patients. In this case, the is 15%, or they can show how there's a reason they can't reach 15%. 15% is a little lower than what the percentage of those patients are in Lane County, but it will vary some, and hope the goal will be. And so the bill would require that they do that, and that we have reporting that shows what the impact, whether indeed this is actually working and we're getting those spread this time. We certainly have practices in Lane County that already cover more than 15%, and the majority do cover OHP, but there's those that do not. And we just think this is an important step forward to try to get everybody covered, get access to physicians, primary care physicians, and then check it. And is it working or isn't it working, and what the issues are.
Questions?
I have a query of the chair. Is are we going to hear from Trillium?
Well, I'm going to see if there's anybody else that would like to testify, but right now,
the reason I'll direct a question to him, but there are other people would be more appropriate to ask the question of.
And I just assume you ask them too.
Okay. Any questions for the representative?
Yes, you did. Okay. Thank you, Representative.
Okay. No. Fantastic.
Thank you,
Representative Lively. Is there anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? Sure. This is my former representative and current school board member and former school board chair, Debbie Farr. So, welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think I'm still obligated to say, for the record, my name is Debbie Farr. I'm the Director of Public and Government Affairs for Trillium Community Health Plan. We're the CCO in Lane County. Would you like me to give testimony? I think that I'm happy to tell you why we ask Representative Lively to advance the legislative concept, if you would like some background. So, Trillium launched our CCO in August of 2012. Things were going very well. We knew that we would have an expanded population when all of the Medicaid expansion went into effect, and OHA predicted that we would see about 27,000 new members by the end of 2015. But we had about 27,000 members in the first 3 months. We are now, we ended 2013 at 57,000. We're now at about 98,000 Oregon Health Plan members. We've had 6,000 new members since the beginning of the year. At this time last year, we had 9,000 members that we could not assign to a primary care provider. So we employed a variety of strategies, including additional per member per month payments to providers that would accept new Oregon Health Plan members. We issued an RFP and received proposals from several clinics that increased staffing and improved workflow so that they could take additional members. We also gave the county almost $1 million to open their fifth community health center, which opened last August. They were able to open it in 6 months. And they took 6,000 members. So by the end of the year, we were able to assign nearly all of the 9,000. But in April of 2014, because we had so many unassigned members, we were forced to close to new Oregon Health Plan members for their physical health services. And all of those members became fee-for-service with the state. Once we demonstrated that we were able to assign the unassigned from 2014, we were given those members in February of this year. And right now we have about 12,500, including 500 children that we have not been able to assign to a primary care provider. So it's very serious. We do have access to specialists. We are sending members to urgent care for primary care services, and some of them do go to the ER. And so the cost is substantial, as you can imagine. Last year, last June, we had a conference that Trillium organized called the State of the Delivery System, and Representative Lively and Sonia Carlson with Representative Barnhart's office was there. We had about 30 leaders from the community that attended, and we talked about various strategies that we could employ, and this happened to be one of them. along with other strategies that we're doing this year, which is also helping the county open another community health center in North Eugene. It was just announced in the Register Guard today. We're giving them another $1 million to do that. Springfield Family Physicians, that is currently at about 35%. Oregon Health Plan in Springfield is also opening an additional clinic, and we'll be recruiting for that. So we're very hopeful that we'll be able to assign those members by the end of the year, but we need to have all the tools in our toolbox that are available, and this is potentially one of them.
Your question.
Yeah, thank you. I think you've answered the first one that I had, which is, given the numbers that you've told us, there is a significant need in Lane County for primary care physicians to take patients from the CCO. Since the bill only refers to Lane County, I won't talk about any place else. The reference in this in the amendment is to the Public Employee Benefit Board. How substantial a piece of business is that for physicians in Lane County? And do you anticipate that some physicians might choose simply not to take PEB patients rather than to comply with this bill?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Barnhart, it is a quite lucrative book of business, and we do not anticipate that any providers would choose not to accept those members. Because they would also need to accept Oregon Health Plan members. We feel very confident that that there is the appropriate patient mix and room for both.
Thank you. Thank you. Madam Chair, we've been studying this issue for some time. I have not been involved in the development of this bill, but it seems to me as though this would be a huge benefit to Lane County and to low-income residents of Lane County that are in the Oregon Health Plan.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Anyone else here that would like to speak to this bill that is not moving today? Not saying it won't. I'm just saying it's not moving today.
I like the committee.
Yeah, that's great. So with that, I am going to close the work session on House Bill 3300, and this bill will come back on Monday. But we wanted to make sure that people that were here that traveled were able to speak, and that Representative Lively, who stayed in spite of spilling coffee on his shirt, got that opportunity. So thank you for your sacrifice, Representative. And with that, I will adjourn. Enjoy your weekend.
There you go.
Thanks for letting.
Adjourn. Enjoy your weekend.